Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're glad you're with us today. It is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about love, and I wanted to spend today's broadcast really talking about one element of love that is oftentimes ignored, and it's the fact that Paul said love is patience. Mm-hmm. Patient. And I think in a time like this where tensions are high, we've got the Orlando shooting, we have other shootings going on, we have other issues at hand, we have threats of terror, all of these sort of things. How does this definition of love, love being patient, really fit into the mix? And why is that important for us to really hammer on that and to really dig deep into that little phrase and see exactly what it means, because we do need a measure of patience one toward another. And I think if we're really going to have that type of patience one toward another, we need to realize the type of patience that God has had with us. You know, a lot of times we pray, Lord, give me patience, just give it to me right now. Right now. But that's how we are. But God's not like that. I mean, his battery never needs to be recharged. He has an unlimited supply of patience. And it's interesting, you know, Richard, Bob, we've talked about this so many times. You know, that word patience is not an adjective or a noun. It's actually a verb. This is an action word. So God is actively being patient with us. And we have to recognize that. That's happening right now. And there's a reason that he's doing that. Otherwise, you know, he'd just wipe us out.
Yeah.
But
yes.
He's not like that. So this word patience is a Greek word that is composed of two. So it's a compound word, makros meaning long. The other is thumos meaning anger or wrath. So when joined together, it means long suffering as opposed to being quick to anger. Mm-hmm. So God suffers long with us. And there's a reason he does that, because he is actively engaged in working our circumstances out to bring us to a point where we can respond to that offer of life in Jesus Christ. As Peter wrote in his second letter, God's patience means salvation. You know, God is patient with us, you know, hoping or not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance.
Yes.
So God is patient with us to work those things out, to bring us to that point where we can actually respond in repentance to his kindness and receive his gift of life.
Yes.
That's how God treats us. And I think it's important that we take a step back and look at our own lives. Look at the things that go on inside of us each and every day. The thoughts that we have, the attitudes that we have, the actions that we take one toward another, the words that we say one toward another. Can any of us stand before God and say, my thought life is pure? You know, from the time I get up to the time I go to bed, every single day, the words that I say are always uplifting, encouraging, edifying. They're given to build up, never to tear down. Can any of us say that every word that comes out of our mouth is words of love and encouragement and grace? Can any one of us say that the attitudes that we build in our hearts and in our minds are always pure and of the right motive? Can we say that our motivations are always pure? And the answer to all of those questions is absolutely no. We cannot say that we are like that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So in our own lives, we need God's patience, don't we? If we don't have God's patience, we can't survive. We're not going to make it. We're toast, absolutely toast. And that's why it's so disheartening with a lot of the response that's going on to this shooting in Orlando, for example, from Christians.
Yeah.
attitude, saying that those folks in that bar deserved what they got. Really? Well, when do you not get there? You know, shouldn't get what you deserve.
Yeah.
I mean, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's why we need the love of God. That's why this is so vitally important. And God chooses to love us. That's just what he chooses to do. And we have to recognize that and embrace that, knowing that that really is the answer to the problems of man. Not an ushy-gushy, warm, fuzzy feeling,
yeah,
but action, rolling up the sleeves and getting into action on our behalf. That's why this definition of love is so vitally important to us. So we're going to talk more about that on today's broadcast. So
yes,
stay
indeed.
Tuned.
Yeah, absolutely. Stay tuned. We have a question that I think burns in a lot of people's hearts and minds, and it is that issue that surrounds the issue of our eternal security in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's centered around Revelation 2:5. It's from Jeremy. The question says, Bob, what exactly does Revelation 2:5 mean? How does it relate to salvation?
Well, Jeremy, thanks for writing to us. We certainly appreciate that. Here's what the passage says, that I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love that you had at first. Consider how far you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. So, Richard, what is John actually saying in this passage? He's writing to the church at Ephesus.
Yes.
They were doing a lot of the right things. Mm-hmm. They were standing up against evil in the world,
yes,
that they were living in at that time. There were the Nicolaitans, the Latins, or whatever, however you say that. But they were notorious for their evil practices, and the church at Ephesus were standing up against those evil practices.
Yes.
And yet God had something against them. And what exactly was that?
Well, he describes it. You have forsaken the love you had at first. So there was something that happened when Paul showed up in Ephesus, long before this was written, and various others of Paul's entourage. I mean, the important people had been to Ephesus, and the Ephesians responded to the gospel. They responded to the gospel so well that riots ensued because people stopped buying idols. Okay? And so, you know, all of a sudden, everything changed in the city, and what had happened is they had gone from this Jesus is everything, what would you have me do next, Lord, to, well, these bad people need to be rooted out of the church, and we need to have more political power, and they did what happens so often, and you've got to remember that this is written to a church, an overall group of people, not to individuals within the church. And if you look at the history of the Ephesian church, it's not too long after that this was written, they were horribly involved in the politics of the church and what are we going to believe and who are we going to believe and what's the right set of beliefs to state, and if you don't agree with us, then we're going to declare you anathema and throw you out. And the more they got involved into that politics of the church, the less they had to say to the world around them, until finally the church in Ephesus just kind of petered out. It just went away. And, you know, that part of the country is so, or part of the world is so susceptible to earthquakes and other kinds of things like that. Ephesus was eventually, it just disappeared as a city. It's just ruins now. And what God said was true. I mean, these people could have had a statement about Jesus Christ throughout their entire history until the city was destroyed. They had no control over the city being destroyed, but what they did have control over was whether the love of God was going to drive them or whether their own strength and their own purposes were going to drive them. And I think this speaks exactly to the love is patient issue. They lost their patience. They lost their first love because they got so wrapped up in the truly the unimportant stuff of life, and cease to have anything to say to the world around.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this speaks to where we are today.
Absolutely
does. In history. I mean, the church here in America, many are standing up against the evil practices that they see, but they're doing so disconnected from the very love of God that saved them. And what we have to offer to the world is our knowledge of God, the fact that God is love. That's what we have to offer. That's what distinguishes us from every other group here on this planet today, that we have the true knowledge of God, not just a distorted view, not an image of God that we have concocted based on our life experiences, but we have the true knowledge of God that has been revealed to us in the person and work of Jesus Christ, the fact that he demonstrated his love for us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. So we see that patience in action on our behalf. And so this church at Ephesus, they had forsaken their first love. They had gone their own way, so to speak. And John was calling them back, and Jesus was calling them back, saying, repent. Turn from, you know, those things that you think is so important for you as a church to stand up against, and come back to the point and stand up for what you're for, and that is the person of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That's the repentance that John was calling them to. And he said, if you don't do those things, then he's going to remove the lampstand. So this is to the church. This isn't to individuals. Mm-hmm. So an individual reading that, you may read it with a sense of fear. Oh, no, God may remove my lampstand. Is he saying that he's going to take the Holy Spirit away from me? And that's not what this passage is all about at all. Throughout the book of Revelation, there's this path of assurance. So as a believer, as a born-again child of God, your sins have been taken away once and for all. We read that in Revelation chapter 1. And we read further on that we've been marked out, that we are saved from the wrath that is to come. This is true of any born-again believer. So you can stand in the assurance of your salvation. This is a message to the church, specifically to the church at Ephesus, that has application today for many church groups trying to make a play against evil and doing so disconnected from the love of God.
Yeah, I find it interesting that Revelation, and with a warning like this, people get all wrapped up in the warning. Revelation isn't about the warning. Revelation is about Jesus, which is the very thing the warning is against. And if we would focus on Jesus, things would take care of themselves. Focusing on the one thing enables everything else.
Yes, indeed. Well, I want to remind our listeners before we get back to our love topic, love is patient. Our year end is coming up June 30th.
Yes.
We have a goal, $199,510. We're about $50,000 into that, so we still have a ways to go. We do have a matching gift challenge. A friend of the ministry has offered $25,000, wants to see that matched. That would be another $50,000. That would put us over the halfway point.
Yes.
So we need as many people as possible to go online today to basicgospel.net, make a contribution through the online giving page there, or you can't call us right now. We're having phone issues. Mm-hmm. So we need you to go to our website, basicgospel.net, and make this contribution, or you can write to us, Basic Gospel, 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. Let's meet this matching gift challenge. Let's meet this year-end goal of $199,510. That will set the stage for what's going to happen the next 12 months through Basic Gospel. So we need to hear from you today. If you want to hear more of the good news of Jesus Christ, specifically what the love of God means to you, and to be encouraged in such a way that you can actually connect to the love of God, embrace the love of God, have the love of God transform you day in and day out, we need to hear from you today, or at least by the end of this month, June 30th. So be as generous as you possibly can so that we can meet this challenge and set a good path for where we're going to go in the next 12 months.
Again, donate on any page at basicgospel.net. And as Bob said, we are having technical difficulties with the phone, so the internet, our website, basicgospel.net, is the place to go. Just click donate on any page.
Yes, indeed. Well, back to our topic, love is patient. And we want to really make this personal, the fact that God was patient with you and God is patient with you. This is where I think things start to change for us. You know, to be patient with another person means we have to understand that other person. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of what we hear, a lot of the negative, a lot of the anger, a lot of the vitriol that's happening in the world today coming from the mouths of Christians, it's because there's a lack of understanding in their hearts and minds, a lack of understanding of their own need for the grace of God, their own need for God to act on their behalf in Jesus, and a lack of understanding of others who, you know, are in the same shape that you were once in, mm-hmm. a sinner, lost, dead spiritually, in need of life. So once we have that understanding, then we can see this patience aspect of the love of God being exhibited out there one toward another. So God truly understands us. He knows exactly what's going on inside of us. He knows our needs. He knows the solution. He knows the answer. He's provided that for us in Jesus. So there are many out there that cry out to God, God, you just don't understand. God, you just don't know how I feel. That's just hogwash. He knows exactly how you feel. He knows exactly what's going on the inside, and he's the only one that really does. You don't even know what's going on. As Paul wrote, I don't even understand myself. I don't know why I'm trapped in this. Things that I want to do, I don't know. Don't do, and the things that I don't want to do, I do anyway. I don't understand myself. But God understands us. Jesus understands us. Listen to this in Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. So because Jesus was tempted in every way that we are, yet he was without sin, he is able to sympathize with us. So in Christ, what do we have? We have a sympathetic person that is living inside of us if we're believers. If you're not a believer, you have somebody that truly understands you, that is sympathetic to where you are, to your situation, to what's going on inside of you right now. Well, as believers who have Jesus being sympathetic toward us, how should we be toward others? Sympathetic toward others. Well, what in the world is that? That is patience. Love is patient toward others. We certainly see a stunning example of God's patience in the Apostle Paul. As he writes his story to Timothy, he says, hey, I was the chief of sinners. You know, there are many people out there that want to claim that spot. You know, I'm the worst. Well, Paul already has it. And God extended unlimited patience to Paul. And at a point in time, that patience meant salvation for Paul when he went from death to life. And so that becomes an example to each and every one of us. So you think about that guy next to you. You think about, you know, people in your neighborhood, people in your community, people that you work with. How is God dealing with that person right now? I mean, at this very moment, he's dealing with that person with patience. Do you get that? Do you understand that? Because that's truth. God is being patient. Why? Because his patience means salvation. He is at work, actively involved, working situations together, orchestrating things so a person could come to a point and recognize their need for Christ and respond to that offer of life.
Yeah.
So how are we to respond to those around us in the same way, with a sense of understanding, with a sense of sympathy, with an idea that God is being patient with that person right now?
Yeah.
That's good news.
That is good news.
That's I think that's exactly why Paul started this definition with these words, love is patience, because he recognized that God had to be patient with him. Otherwise, he would have been just blotted out.
Yes.
Just totally blotted out.
And then he explains so beautifully in Galatians 5, this thing called the fruit of the Spirit. And one of the pieces of that list is patience or forbearance. Now, it's not the verb that God has towards us, but it's the result of God's work on our behalf. And so, you know, if you're worried about your neighbor and how you're going to respond to him, the last thing you want to do is walk over to them and say, you know, I hate everything you do, but I'm going to be patient with you. That's not patience. The patience is when the Spirit inside of you pours enough love through you that you just take a deep breath and you say, you're my neighbor, I'm going to help. Do you need some help with the lawn, or can I help you with the fence, or whatever it's going to be? There's the Spirit motivating and empowering us to take the very things that God has given us and take them to other people.
Yeah. So two things as we come to the end of this broadcast. For the listeners, for those who are tuning in right now or who may be listening, you know, on their app at a later time, are you glad that God was patient with you?
Wow.
Are you glad that God was patient with you? Are you glad today that God is still being patient with you, that he is suffering long with you? Yeah. I think if you can answer yes, then I want you to just stop what you're doing, and I want you to say, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you. That's the response of faith to the love of God,
yes,
to the grace of God. This is a by grace, through faith reality. God extended grace in the fact that he was patient with you. He didn't act out of a sense of justice. He poured all of his wrath upon Jesus. Justice was served there so that he could offer you life everlasting. Are you glad for that patience? Second thing, are you willing to allow the Lord to work that same patience inside of you so that you can extend that type of patience to your neighbor? You may despise what that neighbor stands for, what that neighbor is living for, what that neighbor's life is all about. That's just a fleshly response to it. Allow the Spirit of God to work a sense of patience in you. As you were saying, it's the fruit of the Spirit. So as you abide in the vine, the one who is patience, that's his very nature.
Yes.
Who has an unlimited supply. As you abide in the vine of Christ Jesus, watch his patience be lived out in you.
Yeah.
The world needs it. When we say the world needs love, that's the answer. This is what we're talking about.
Yes.
This is what the Bible talks about. It's not a sense of just, hey, you know, everything's A-OK. We're talking about a real action that's going to make a difference in this yes. world today, an
Absolutely.
Action that flows from the person of Jesus Christ into you and out through you into the lives of others.
Just good stuff, guys. Just really good stuff. Thank you. Friends, I want to remind you that if you want to keep the good news coming, and with your gift of $20 or more this month, you'll not only help Basic Gospel toward our fiscal year-end goal of $199,510, but you'll also receive Bob Christopher's excellent CD series, Love Is. In this time of demonstrated hatred, knowing what God's love really is and how it plays out among us is so obviously important. To make your donation of $20 or more, join Bob Christopher in an exploration of what love truly is. You can do that by going to our website, basicgospel.net, and you can click donate on any page. Remember, the phone lines are out today, so you need to use that website to make your gift at basicgospel.net. Thanks to everybody for joining us. For Bob and Richard and the team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.